Hey guys, it's Daxton.
And Hayden from Blondies Out Loud.
And if you've ever thought about starting a podcast or making money from one,
we use Creator Lab from Odyssey for our show, and it's honestly been so easy.
It's free hosting, and it gives you a really simple way to earn on top of whatever you're already doing.
Which, of course, we love because it just adds another stream without the extra work.
So, if you're a creator or podcast curious,
check it out at creators.odyssey.com.
Happy, happy Friday. Here comes the weekend. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 7:06. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Happy National Donut Day. Oh, my goodness.
I was afraid you were going to glaze right over that.
Wow.
Sorry.
Huh. I'm just going to sit here and, you know, watch time just fritter away. Thank you very much, everybody. Shecky Rose on duty for the next 3 hours of our little get-together here.
Yes.
Harry Carey.
Yeah, it was transitioning.
I was heading in that direction.
Just envisioning you with really big glasses.
Hey, you're going to play upon the whole baseball thing because ESPN's ratings are up 22%. Yeah. They haven't seen ratings this high in baseball since 2017 when Trump had his first go-around as president. I wonder if there's a tie there where people are, like, feeling all American, so they watch more of America's pastime. Maybe they feel more secure, not as jittery and nervous. Oh, I don't know.
Could be.
But it's a good thing.
I like it.
All right, this is not a baseball story.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
What is it?
Unless your team is the... It's the illegal immigrant team.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. The police in... Well, officers of the Polk County Sheriff's Department responded to a construction site in Davenport, Florida. You know, that's near Orlando. After they received reports of the death of a worker there. Upon arrival, officers reported finding the body of an employee identified as Jose Lopez. He had apparently been inspecting or repairing the mechanism of a front-end loading bucket tractor when his head was crushed between the frame and the bucket of the tractor.
Okay.
A police report said officers questioned a site worker named Angel Batista Martinez, 29, who said that he was nowhere near it. But then they saw blood on his pants and investigated his story further. Other employees reported seeing Martinez working on the tractor with the deceased man. Some said Martinez was in the tractor's cab running the machine. Martinez has also reportedly been a regular operator of the tractor. Officers arrested Martinez and charged him in the death of his fellow worker. He was initially charged with second-degree manslaughter, but prosecutors are likely to upgrade his charges to first-degree murder because he's in the country illegally. Along with the state charges, Immigration and Custom Enforcement also filed a detainer against him in the Polk County Jail. The death of Jose Lopez is not a lone example of the dangers that illegals represent in the workplace. Unfortunately, the number of illegal aliens killed on the job, especially in construction, has soared in the last few years after the Biden administration threw our borders wide open to tens of millions of illegal immigrants. Last year, it was reported that illegal aliens made up more than 60% of the victims of workplace deaths. The victims.
That's interesting.
Yes.
Is a lack of, I don't know, is it lack of skill or experience? Or are they just in positions where they're dangerous jobs and they're just trying to do something and not getting caught?
I would think that it is maybe a lack of experience, and the boss man says, can you do this? And they answer to everything, no matter what, yes, because you want to keep your job.
Right.
And you figure, well, I'll figure it out, I'll learn it, and maybe they're not prepared for some of this. Now, in this particular case, who knows? There might have been an issue.
Yeah.
This might not have been an accident. I don't think they would have charged him if they didn't feel like there's something else that they're not sharing with us at this present time. Overall, though, total workplace deaths fell slightly in 2023 over the rate from 2022. the number still exceeded 5,000 deaths. Wow. Yep. Between 2016 and 2023, only 1 year, 2020, had fewer workplace deaths. That can be attributed to widespread COVID because there were so many workplace shutdowns that occurred that year. Migrants are especially at risk because many have less on-the-job experience, nor do they have industry certifications and training, and they are often underage as well. So there's your contributing factors, if you will. Yep. So the big story of the day, clearly, is I wouldn't even just call it a little falling out between Elon Musk and Donald Trump.
It was a tiff, but boy, what do you call it now?
Yeah, I mean, look, Elon gets frustrated. He sees that a lot of these Doge cuts are not being codified by Congress. He sees that this big, beautiful bill that Trump and some others are really touting as the greatest thing since sliced bread, when he looks at it, all he sees is pork. And so there's a level of frustration. When you're used to running a company, being the guy everybody looks to, your word's the final word. You know, it is very, very unlike government, where everything you do, you have to get a consensus of people to agree. And that is never easy in any field, in any work, in anything. Right? The more people you add to the recipe, you can't get everybody to go along. And so I think that there was frustration there from Musk, and I think that he directed it in the wrong place. Am I right or wrong when I tell you that the president went out of his way on many, many occasions to sing the praises of Elon Musk?
Oh, yeah.
Many times. And he took him everywhere, and he allowed him access to everywhere. He was even in the Situation Room. He was in the Oval Office. He was next to him, you know, at his desk. I mean,
people were saying Musk is in charge. They saw him so.
Yeah, exactly. And everything that Trump said about him was glowing, was completely positive. I think that he gave him his proper due. I don't know what the expectations were from Elon Musk, but after he left and seemed upset, he took it out on the big, beautiful bill. That's fine.
Right.
Trump didn't write the bill. He's very supportive of it, and it wants it to go through, but this was written by Republicans in Congress, and Elon Musk has to know that, but it's like he took it personally and took it out on Trump, and then they went and escalated it. Yeah. You know, Trump saying, oh, well, you know, once... He's just mad because he's not getting the EV handouts. And then it really went from there. And Elon Musk said, oh, well, the reason Trump and you haven't seen all the Epstein files is because, you know, Trump's in there. I mean, that was pretty...
That's over the line.
Well, I mean, unless he really, really knows something that nobody else does, because if anybody else knew... They know that information would be worth a lot of money to Democrats and those seeking to throw dirt on Trump before this most recent election, let alone really at any time.
They'd have used it a long time.
Yes, they would have, I believe.
Yeah.
And Elon Musk, his stock went down yesterday, lowering the value some $150 billion. When you say put your money where your mouth is, he did, whether he meant to or not. That was costly.
Uh-huh.
People want to see them working together, at least having a somewhat of a friendship, at least definitely not being at each other's throats.
Right.
This is thus far not a good breakup. Not a good breakup. They need to send flowers to each other.
Yeah, maybe they'll work.
What's Bugging You is coming up next. Brought to you by Florida Pest Control. The only bugs they can't control are litter bugs. So call in now, 877-975-9825. What's Bugging You? It's next on 97.3 The Sky.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning and welcome. Happy Friday, my friends. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's time now for you to air it out, get it off your chest, and hopefully feel better, especially with the weekend here. What's bugging you? Brought to you by Florida Pest Control. The only bugs they can't control are litter bugs. Don't be one of those. 877-975-9825. Call in now. Don't be shy. And if you don't get through right away, please try back. We'll try to fit you in. Good morning, Big Mike. What's bugging you?
Good morning, brothers. This here is exactly what I was talking about yesterday that the American people are tired of. Here we got two grown men throwing punches like two-year-olds, and all it does is it makes the enemy sit back and smile. And it's just so frustrating that we just can't go a month where everybody just does their job. Focus on your job and leave the drama at home, man. The American people are tired of this. We need to be moving forward with everybody on board, and it seems like every day there's drama that just makes people say, what the heck is going on and who's running this thing? God bless you guys, and God bless America. We're going to get it right.
God bless you, Big Mike. Hey, that's our promo, man.
Yep.
That's promo right there. That's promo material, Big Mike. Let's go to Tony. Good morning. What's bugging you?
This is Jeff.
Jeff, go right ahead.
Okay. The left, and you ruined my negative attitude. and China are no different. And the only way to fix it, the only way to walk it back, is to admit that you're wrong, and they won't ever do it. God bless America.
Though those are a couple of personalities, Trump and Musk, that may have difficulty with that idea of admitting that maybe you took it too far, made a mistake. But you know what? You know who's capable of doing that kind of thing? Real men. Be a real man. Good morning, Tony. What's bugging you?
Hey, good morning. So just to kind of, yeah, Big Mike, I agree 100%. I never really trusted Elon. And for him to come out and say that he's the one that got Trump elected, I would refer him to the electoral map. No, it was we, the people, that got him elected. And I just want to remind everybody, Elon has criticized our president more than he has Chairman Xi. And his mother is real big time over there. They love them some socialism. They love them some communism. So for me, Elon Musk, if he's got differences with the president, hey, that's fine. Everybody's got an opinion. But to say and do the things he's doing shows he's a narcissist. And I want to remind everybody, at heart, he's a communist, folks. So don't trust him. It's just a serpent fight. And this guy is a snake. Thanks.
Wow. You sound like Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon, like, throw him out of the country. He's probably an illegal alien.
Yeah.
And confiscate SpaceX. That's what he said. It was, wow. 877-975-9825. Call in now, please. And, hey, Mark, what's bugging you?
Hey, good morning, Bob and Greg. What's bugging me is that, excuse me, sorry, my throat, that we've lost Benjamin Orr and Rick Ocasek many years ago from the Cars. I just don't like the way we keep losing our best voices in music. It's just kind of sad. It just kind of like bugs me.
Yeah, well, when the good Lord stamps your ticket, it's time to go.
Oh, is that how it works?
Well, a lot of these musicians are lucky they're around.
That's true, too.
You know?
But isn't it ironic? It's people like the Stones that are still alive.
Yeah, so, Keith Richards.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, the one, Willie Nelson, all these guys who, like, a little wild in their younger days are the ones who are still around. That's great.
Keith Richards was the first to find out that the Fountain of Youth clearly is made out of three ingredients.
Yeah.
Whiskey,
yeah.
Cigarettes, and maybe cocaine.
Still here. Still playing.
Last chance, 877-975-9825. Call in now. And good morning, Kevin. What's bugging you?
Yeah, what's bugging me is how the UF Board of Trustees are mad because of the ex-president of Michigan University didn't get selected. But he also had two students that tried to poison all of America through the crops up there, too. So we need to keep an eye on who we choose. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, those were a couple of Chinese nationals that were doing research work at the University of Michigan, and they tried to smuggle in a fungus that most experts agree could be very easily weaponized. It could do a tremendous amount of damage to our crops, for instance.
So it's like, okay, why not just work on that at home? But no.
Yeah, that's homework, kids. Exactly. Homework as in, you know, way over there.
I got one. A bunch of us from Gainesville Jeepers went out to eat last night, just kind of hanging out and having a good time. There's about 14 of us, and I know that it is tough when you're at a restaurant or whatever, when you got a big table, but it was really weird. Almost everybody at our table got their food at a reasonable time, except for three of us. We ordered about 6:30. I think we got ours about 7:30.
Wow.
I mean, I'd ordered a chicken Caesar wrap, you know? And the other two that were late were also chicken-related. I don't know if they had to go find more chickens. I don't know what the deal was. But literally, the other 11 people at the table were almost done when the three of us finally got our food.
And it took you a lot longer to get your bill?
Oh, no, no. That's the irony. I was the first one to get my bill.
Last one to get your food.
Yes, I even joked about it. He goes, well, you know, I saw you were last for the food. I didn't want to make you wait on that, too. I'm like, I get your point of trying to be nice, but you've also made the other point of, oh, yeah, here's your bill. We want your money, but you were the last to get your food.
Are you telling me maybe somebody in the kitchen was not a Greg Cassidy fan? Could it be possible?
But see, the other two people, you know, they didn't get theirs on time either, so I don't know. But it was irritating. It's like, when that happens.
Well, that happened, a very similar thing happened, like I said earlier, when we were up in Glen St. Mary, a little mom and pop, a place that our friends had been to many times, and it was our friends. We ordered, like, lunch when it wasn't lunchtime yet. They brought our stuff right out, but they ordered, like, French toast and pancakes, and they were way behind. We had to prompt them, and then they still missed one.
Oh, my God.
Still. Oh, yeah, it was crazy. I don't know what's going on.
That was frustrating.
You know what it is?
What's that?
It's the fluoride missing from the water. Now I'm just trying to stir it up.
Okay.
727, let's call it 728 on the Bob Rose Show. Coming up at 8:05, my friend from Soldiers Freedom Outdoors is going to be here. So I'm looking forward to a conversation with Dan DeMarco. What can you do to help out veterans as they try to heal the hidden wounds of war? That's coming up 8:05 right here on 97.3 The Sky, because it is a special day today. I'll explain next.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Crank it up. It's Friday, baby. Come on. Weekend. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's 7:35. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Healing the hidden wounds of war. My friend Dan DeMarco, Soldiers Freedom Outdoors, will be along in about 30 minutes to tell you about some great events that are going on. And we're glad there's people like him around that are doing great things for our veterans as we remember, on this day in 1944, D-Day, when Dwight D. Eisenhower, the Supreme Allied Commander, gives the green light for the largest amphibious military operation in history, Operation Overlord, Lord, Lord. I can't imagine what it was like. They open the gate of the amphibious vehicle and shout, "Get out!" When you can clearly see rounds piercing the water, hitting the end of the ship, flying over your head. Get out. Go into the bullets. The sacrifice, the bloodshed. But in the end, we were victorious. But what a sacrifice. And I know you had something to go along with the D-Day.
Phil had actually called earlier. We were talking about it off air. And it was recommending a really good movie with Pierce Brosnan called The Last Rifleman. Did you ever see that?
Not that I recall, and I'm a bit of a fan of his.
I know. I like his stuff. Came out in 2023. It's about a true story that happened in 2014 on the 70th anniversary of D-Day, when an old soldier sneaks out of the care home, as they called it, to sneak out to be part of the ceremony.
Oh.
To be there, you know, acknowledging D-Day on the 70th anniversary.
And what was the movie called again?
The Last Rifleman.
The Last Rifleman.
I think that would be really interesting.
Yes, I'm going to have to check that out. I am a fan of his.
Yeah, he's a good actor.
He's probably not driving around in a BMW Z3, though, during this
probably
particular movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's something to check out.
Wow. I mean, 18,000 British and American parachutists by daybreak had already landed on the ground. Additional 13,000 aircraft mobilized to provide some air cover. At 6:30 a.m., American troops came ashore at Utah and Omaha beaches. The British and Canadians overcame light opposition to capture Gold, Juno, and Sword beaches. So did the Americans at Utah. The task seemed to be the toughest, though, at Omaha Beach, where the U.S. 1st Division battled high seas, missed mines, burning vehicles, and German coastal batteries, including an elite infantry division, which spewed heavy fire. Many wounded Americans ultimately drowned in the high tide, not without even a chance to possibly patch them up and rescue them.
Can you imagine the organization that took? All those things.
Some of it was practiced right down the road across the street from where I live in Camp Blanding.
Yep.
If you know that area with all the little lakes and all that,
right,
they had an opportunity to, you know, kind of model and practice at least some parts of that. At the time, yeah, it was a much larger base back then during World War II. But, yeah, just what an incredible story. And, you know, it would be tough to be the commander of that. It would be tough to be the president. And you knew that the best case scenario, you were going to get a lot of casualties.
Oh, yeah. You're just counting on numbers.
Yeah.
Sadly, and those are lies.
Well, I mean, Hitler kind of thought it was, you know, a little bit of a feint, a little bit of a fake, a head fake, if you will.
Right.
And he thought that there would be an assault on northwestern Europe in the spring of 44. So we got a little break there. Rommel, their big, their commander, who was highly, you know, celebrated from their side, the German Rommel, he was like on leave when the invasion actually took place.
Wow.
So
timing.
That helped the Allies as well. But, you know, it's a huge piece of history. And you know, hopefully there's still kind of a thirst and a hunger for the stories related to this and share those with the young folks. I you know, the further we get away from having, you know, friends, families, relatives, whatever, that can actually tell you stories related to World War II in general, the younger people, they don't understand that level of sacrifice. I mean, look, we barely understand. It's not like we went through it.
But we were kids, and it was only 20 years prior, if you think about it that way.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, let's...
Not another decade.
Yeah, if you're born in, like, you know, yeah, 64 or 65, I mean, the war only ended 20 years, you know, previous.
Right.
So, yeah, it was still very much on the minds of adults at that time. And then now, those adults now are 100 years old.
Yeah. Not, I mean, the numbers
if they're here
of World War II veterans that we lose every day is just getting exponential at this point.
Now, what can we do for the veterans that still are around? Dan will give you some ideas. Dan DeMarco from Soldiers Freedom Outdoors, coming up at 8:05, and he'll give you an idea of some of the things that you can do to help out. Rampant visa overstays are incompatible with a lawful American first immigration system. I agree.
Yep.
And Congress folks Nathaniel Moran from Texas and Randy Fine from here in Florida are introducing a bill to eliminate them. The pair introduced the Visa Overstays Penalties Act. This would close immigration loopholes and hold accountable those who abuse the legal entry system by illegally extending their stay in the U.S. The visa overstay threat, of course, freshly illustrated by the recent terrorist attack in Boulder, Colorado. Suspect Mohammed Sabri Soleiman, reportedly an illegal alien from Egypt who entered, overstayed his visa after entering the United States under the Biden administration. He used a makeshift flamethrower. He literally lit people on fire. One of the people he lit on fire was from Auschwitz? A survivor? Well, a Holocaust survivor. I don't know if it was it Auschwitz or, okay, but definitely a Holocaust survivor.
Yep.
Can you imagine that? You saw death firsthand and lived your life to try to outlive those kinds of thoughts that are imprinted in your brain. And now you're of advanced age and someone tries to light you on fire because you're a Jew. Is that insanity?
It is. You think it's gone, but it's not.
I mean, I have never experienced, heard, or have seen anti-Semitism the way that it's being seen and the way some are experiencing it today. Maybe one of the reasons why World War II needs to be taught to a little bit deeper, greater degree in schools. How can you be smart enough to get into, Columbia or Harvard, somewhere like that, and yet still never have been taught? If you've been taught about World War II, you certainly must have been taught about the Holocaust.
Well, but think about that. Maybe they did learn about these things when they were in school at some point. But look at where a lot of these college-age kids are being led once they're in these institutions. You've got the Holocaust deniers. You've got these liberal professors. I mean, it's a whole... They get brainwashed so quickly between the combination of the staff, and then you're also trying to fit in. You don't want to be the one who stands up and fights whichever way the tide is going.
Yeah, I'd like to ask him. I'd like to say, have you ever been to a Holocaust denier museum? And they'd be like, huh? Yeah. Have you ever been to a Holocaust denier museum? Well, no, because they don't exist. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
They don't exist.
Yep.
Holocaust museums do.
Yes.
Places where Holocaust took place, like Auschwitz, you can go visit those places.
Yep.
I've never been. My daughter has visited.
Yeah.
Eerie. It'll leave you with a feeling that she had difficulty describing.
I've never been there, but in my trip years ago to Ukraine and Romania, went to some places that were residual of World War II and burial places.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the mass burials and things and monuments they put up just to kind of in reflection of that.
It's not a war like World War II, but it's a war of words. And it's Trump versus Musk. And the only people that are going to win on this are the weirdo lefties that I thought we were all trying to fight against. Okay. Already, though, Musk seems to be paying a price as his stock plunged just one day, costing him between $150 and $180 billion in value. Yep. They need to bury the hatchet. They need to shake hands like men do. Yeah. Come on. 7:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Happy, happy Friday. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Welcome, my friends. It's National Donut Day. Enjoy. I'm not just going to glaze over it. I am going to mention it several times.
I somehow thought that you might.
Most important thing, though, is this is the anniversary of D-Day, June 6, 1944. And we'll talk more about that coming up later on as well. We talked about it earlier. And, of course, we're going to have Dan DeMarco from Soldiers Freedom Outdoors. What can we do for our veterans today that would help heal the hidden wounds of war? And he'll explain coming up in a little bit. thinking about Rambo.
Really?
He drew first blood. Remember that line?
Oh, yeah.
He drew first blood.
Yep.
I was fine. I was good.
Uh-huh.
That was Donald Trump.
Yeah.
He was good.
Yes.
When Musk was leaving,
right.
Trump praised him on his way out, holding an Oval Office ceremony to present him with a ceremonial gold key to the White House.
Wow.
Yes. The relationship went south, though. This began Monday when Musk attacked Trump's big, beautiful bill. He drew first blood. That's on Elon.
I would say so, yes.
That's on him. Republicans soon speculated Musk was angered by the bill's removal of electric vehicle mandates and green energy subsidies, which benefit his Tesla company. Others speculated Musk's move was retribution after the administration announced it was pulling the nomination of Jared Isaacman, a close Musk ally, to lead NASA. The fight's Thursday escalation featured Trump threatening Musk's government subsidies and contracts and Musk claiming without evidence Trump is implicated in the Epstein files. Woo! And then, wait, it gets worse. There was a post on X by a guy who receives lucrative payments from X because he's a big social media influencer. His name is Ian Miles Chong. And he said, President versus Elon. Who wins? Question mark. My money's on Elon. Trump should be impeached and J.D. Vance should replace him. That was on X.
Wow.
And apparently Musk agreed. So you're saying he's implicated in Epstein somehow? You're saying he should be or going along with somebody who said he should be impeached? And you drew first blood? This is going to get ugly. I don't know if cooler heads are going to be able to get these two together. I mean, that's, you know.
I mean, we've seen Trump, you know, make good with people, but in the past, I mean, look at a Rubio. But it wasn't this.
Rod Stewart said, hey, the first cut is the deepest, but I don't know. That third cut coming from Elon probably didn't feel so good either. Mm-hmm. You know, when you start talking about, you know, impeaching and that he was implicated with the Epstein stuff, and that's why he hasn't released the files when the fact is he did his due diligence to release the files back in February, I guess, through DOJ. They're not done scouring through all the stuff, either redacting or seeing what they can release.
Right.
That's, I get, but Elon, I don't know. Why do you want to just keep scorching the earth like that? Do you really think you're going to win favor from Democrats? I don't know that they're going to re-embrace you. Maybe, but I don't think so. And what does it do to the marketing of your vehicles? Because you lost all the lefties. They hated you so much they were, you know, scratching and burning your vehicles.
Conservatives were buying them.
Conservatives actually turned around about, oh, well, we'll help. Yeah, he's doing, look, he's a great asset to our country. He's not taking a paycheck, and he is trying to cut out the waste and fraud. Look, he did everything he could do, but you also have to acknowledge that Trump is doing everything he can do.
Right.
Government is not run by one person. I mean, it just doesn't work that way. It's a constitutional representative republic, and you've got three branches of government, and one can't rule the whole roost and run the whole show, and Elon knows that. I think that most people would just like to see them just restore at least some level of respect for one another, because they both deserve a level of respect and they're both disrespecting each other. Especially, I think, you don't want to take sides on something like this, but I would lean toward, you know, I got Trump's back.
Yes, Elon's being the bigger aggressor.
And he's a little bit more of a Johnny come lately, although it's appreciated. What he's come lately with, but I mean, Elon is a smart guy, and that's why I didn't understand when he came out against the big beautiful bill. I could understand coming out against it because of the spending, and it doesn't address a deficit. That's fine, but he has to, understand at least some of the constraints of reconciliation, and that's partially excuse and partially the way it is. I mean, it is the way it is. Can you still make some cuts, though? Yeah. And some folks are coming out and saying that. Rand Paul, it just recently said, hey, my goal is not to stop the big, beautiful build, but to make it better. And I think it was Ted Cruz, Senator Cruz, that also said, hey, I think we can make it better and we can get it passed. We talked to Senator Rick Scott, who said very much the same thing. He's a fiscally responsible guy. He's not happy with the amounts of spending in this thing. We got to get it under control. But I think for right now, if they can tweak it and at least, you know, claw back some of this stuff, that, you know, he said he would support it. So hopefully we'll make some progress on this thing. It is 7:56. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Bob Rose Show podcast available wherever you normally download your podcast. Click on subscribe and you'll never miss a minute of the show. It is the anniversary of D-Day on this day in 1944. We're going to talk to Soldiers Freedom Outdoors' Dan DeMarco next on 97.3 The Sky.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.